This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, it's a Tuesday afternoon, cloudy, and you know the forecast. You just heard it from Peyton Malone. Expecting rain late this afternoon, really into tonight and tomorrow morning. That's going to be the heaviest rain. And there is apparently a very good possibility of flooding. Now, you know, as much as we love to criticize the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, and, you know, sometimes they deserve the criticism, there are situations where the pumps just can't pump everything out. There's situations where, you know, it's just there's no pump. There's no pump in the world that can pump that much water out that fast. So, you know, if nature, you know, delivers a real blow to certain areas, there's going to be flooding. And I know we like to automatically, you know, blame the Sewage and Water Board because you can't blame nature. You know, you can't get mad at nature because, you know, nature's just there. Nature is life. It's just the way things happen. So, you know, we love to blame something tangible, but I tell you, the Sewage and Water Board is not always to blame. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. It is a Tuesday afternoon, May the 6th. And, you know, it was hard for me to believe when I was at Jazz Fest Sunday that Jazz Fest this year was not as crowded as Jazz Fest last year. The crowds were not quite as big as last year. But I would say that that's by just a few people because it was really crowded when I went on Sunday. And I'm sure you found it very crowded when you were there. They're getting close to announcing officially who's going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, you have the inductees, and then you have the actual people who get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Not all of the inductees any one year are inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So who's it going to be this year? Seems like Cyndi Lauper is a shoe-in. We had the conversation on this show about Oasis. Does Oasis deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't think so. Ian disagreed with me. He thinks they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're going on a world tour right now, and Liam and Noel are going to be separated backstage. They're not even going to be in the same dressing room. So here are two brothers that really can't get along, and apparently they're still not getting along enough to be backstage in the same dressing room at when they go on tour. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about the inductees in the 3 o'clock hour. And there seems to be a big controversy about Mariah Carey. Does Mariah Carey belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You know, think about her music. Well, think about the music of Outkast. It's not really rock. It's not rock and roll. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has people inducted that are not really hardcore rock and roll or not true, pure rock and roll, and they're still in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I found it interesting that of the 400 inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, only 80 are women. And there seems to be some conversation about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame being sexist. So we'll get into that in the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon, and we'll talk to you about whether or not you think Mariah Carey deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'll be honest with you. I don't really think she does. She's got a great body. She's got a great voice. But I can't think of one of her songs, except that Christmas song, I can't think of one of her songs that stands out in my mind. I really can't even name her songs. Well, I mean, I picked one for the playlist today for our bumper music. So I know one of her songs is titled Yours. I think she's got a song called Ex-Girlfriend and another one called Love Story. But I couldn't pick these songs out. For somebody who's got such an incredible voice, to me, there's just nothing distinguishable about Mariah Carey. Again, beautiful woman, great body, great voice. But does she belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Anyway, I'm not a Mariah Carey fan. I respect her, but I'm not a Mariah Carey fan. So we'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour. The President of the United States held a press conference today in the Oval Office, and the new Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, was sitting right next to him. There were some moments, I was watching this before the show, there were some moments that were very, very uncomfortable when the President of the United States was talking about how Canada would benefit being part of the United States. And at one point, Prime Minister Carney did say, Canada is not for sale. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. Also, on CNN, there was a hardcore Trump supporter who was on CNN last night with Abby Phillips. And she said the media is promoting a hoax that Donald Trump never questioned whether or not he has to uphold the Constitution. This person said Trump never said that, and the media is perpetrating a hoax. We will talk about that. Also, there is a bit of an update on the woman we talked about yesterday, this woman in Rochester, Minnesota, who, as of yesterday, had raised over $600,000 in support. She used the N-word. She shouted at a 5-year-old African-American child. He apparently stole something from her, took a diaper bag or something. She was there with her 18-month-old child. This was at a playground in Rochester. And he runs off, and she shouted the N-word at him. And we talked about that on the show yesterday. And as of yesterday, she'd raised over $600,000. The campaign was Help Me Protect My Family. And she realized that her phone number and her address had gotten out there. I don't know if she had death threats or anything like that, but she felt like she needs to move. And so she decided to have this page and have people give money. And now it's up to over $600,000. I'm going to try to find out where it is at this point, what the new number is. After the show yesterday, I tried to find out and I couldn't find out. Hey, this is sad news. Ruth Buzzi passed away. She was 88 years old, Ruth Buzzi. She was a comedian. And she appeared on Laugh In quite often, and she played a number of different parts. Really funny person. She was 88 years old, but she passed away. The jury selection is beginning in the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Can you imagine some of the testimony that's going to be in that court? I mean, this is all about sex. It's all about sex parties. Can you imagine some of the evidence that's going to be presented? Wow. Anyway, a jury selection is beginning, and the dude is still in jail. You know, can you imagine having as much money as Sean Combs has? And the life that you've got several mansions. And you're just living this incredible life. You got whatever car you want to drive. You've got all this lavish stuff in your house. And now he's in a jail cell. And they wouldn't let him out on bail. because they were afraid he might skip the country. Hell, if I were him and I did what he allegedly did, I'd be out of this country too. Because I don't know that he's going to get away with this. A lot of information out there, but 19 potential jurors were questioned yesterday, and they're expected to be considered for the jury, but that's not complete yet, so we'll let you know when that happens. Let's see, what else? Okay, there's more controversy about whether or not President Trump said he doesn't have to really uphold the Constitution. And so I guess the question that we have to ask today is, do you think the President of the United States should be required to uphold the Constitution? It's a real simple question. It's yes or no. Do you think the President of the United States should uphold the Constitution? Or should we just throw the Constitution out? I mean, seriously, should we just throw it out and not worry about the Constitution anymore? We'll talk about that. All right, let's see. A tourist was bitten by a crocodile while taking a selfie at a zoo in the Philippines. He thought the animal was fake. He climbed over a fence. Why would you care about taking a selfie with a fake animal? He thought it was fake anyway. He got bitten. And I would think that, you know, if you climb over a fence like that and you know get into the compound of a wild animal and something happens, hey, that's on you. All right. Apparently, this idea that we had mentioned yesterday of the President of the United States imposing a 100% tariff on any and all foreign movies reportedly came from actor John Voight, who is a staunch conservative. And I'm not using that as a point of criticism. I'm just using that as a way of describing him, because there are not many conservatives. There are not as many conservatives as there are liberals in Hollywood. So I point out that John Voight is a staunch conservative. But it's interesting how the President of the United States, you know, gets information from different people, like Laura Loomer gave him the information about firing somebody over what happened with the whole attack plans in Yemen being leaked to a journalist. She gave him the idea to get rid of somebody, and then it ultimately did happen. And now John Voight gives him the idea about putting this 100% tariff on foreign films, and apparently it's going to happen. Also, I want to talk about country star Luke Combs. He says that his priorities are in order and that his job is not as important as his kids. But he has a lot of money now, and maybe it's easy for him to say that. Do you feel like you ever made your work more important than your kids? I will confess to you that there have been a few times in my life when I feel like it would look like my work is more important than my son. But it never was. In my heart and mind, it wasn't. But from a practical standpoint, I had to make one in particular big decision that made it seem as if I cared more about work than my son. I'll explain. But again, you know, Luke Combs says, my family's more important than my kids. But that's easy for him to say because he has a lot of money now. And he'll always have a lot of money if he doesn't waste it all. And so I think it's easy for him to say that. And I think a lot of men in particular, and sometimes women, get criticized for putting work over their kids when in reality, it's really kind of a necessity. So do you feel like you ever made work more important than your kids? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well.
Hey, how do I sound?
You sound good.
I sound okay. I've got new headphones.
Oh, sure you do.
Yeah, Danny gave me brand new headphones. They're Koss TD85.
Wow.
You know, I was first starting out in radio. I bought a pair of Koss headphones. They were $60. And, you know, for what I made at the time, that was a lot of money to spend on headphones, $60. Anyway, these are brand new, and they sound pretty good. But if I go to, move, look what happens. They kind of fall off my head.
Fall off your head there.
Yeah. And, they're
backwards?
Good. Let me see. No, this is the way. I mean, they're on right. I mean, I sound really good, but they don't fit right. I felt kind of funny in this opening segment because they're just not fitting right. And that's what I didn't like about the Koss that I bought for $60 when I was kind of starting out in radio. Koss headphones, they don't allow the ear to sink into the headphone. It's almost the headphone part, the cup part, is almost a can.
It's covering up your entire ear.
But it's kind of flush with your ear. It's not it's not very deep. And that's why when I, you know, look down, they kind of... Now, all right, let me change back to my regular headphones. All right, it's official. I'm giving these back to Danny. And I want to thank Danny for offering the new headphones. They're kind of cool. They'll be better for somebody else. Let me plug these in.
Yeah, I'll give them a try.
I probably could have tested this before we went on the air, but it's more fun to do it this way.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. See, now I'm back to normal.
Now you feel like yourself
again. I felt I may have sounded the same, but I felt really weird because I didn't sound the same to myself because they're new headphones.
Yeah, you sound exactly the same, but if you're not comfortable, you can't move around. You can't wear those headphones.
No, I'll put them back in the box and Danny can re-gift them to somebody else on the air. But I want to thank Danny Miller for offering me the brand new headphones. All right, I'm back to the old, as Ian likes to call them, cans.
Cans.
That's what they used to call them in the business.
Hey, they still call them that.
I don't call them. I never called them cans. I don't know why. I just rejected the whole notion that they're cans. I guess I thought it was just like such the cool thing to say that I didn't want to say it. Yeah, I got my cans, man. Got my old cans on. No, old cans are doing better than the new cans. All right, we have a lot to talk about, and if you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And I think we start with a question, and it's real simple. Do you think the President of the United States should follow the Constitution? I think you have to answer this and consider that, for example, if you're a Republican, consider, for example, that one day there might be a Democrat in the White House. And so if you say the President of the United States does not need to follow the Constitution, that means that you agree that a Democrat in the White House would not have to follow the Constitution. So how do you feel about that? The Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. All right, it is cloudy, no rain in the immediate New Orleans area right now. May get some scattered showers. But it is on the way for tonight and tomorrow morning. All right, Tuesday afternoon, I'm Scoot on the air, and we are coming right back with more here on WWL. Yeah, I'm telling you, I watched the press conference with the President of the United States and Canada's new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, and there were a lot of lies there. I mean, it was hard to watch it. It was hard to stomach it. Really difficult. All right, before I get to your calls and before we get to text messages, let's take a look at Scoot's news briefs. Speaking with reporters during a press conference with Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, President Trump was asked if Carney's insistence that Canada will not become the 51st state complicates their discussions.
No, not at all. No, not at all. No, time will tell. It's only time. But I say never. I've had many, many things that were not doable, and they ended up being doable, and only doable in a very friendly way. But if it's to everybody's benefit, you know, Canada loves us, and we love Canada. That's, I think, the number one thing that's important. But we'll see. I mean, over time.
Well, I'm not sure how much Canada loves us right now with this idea that the United States wants to take over. And by the way, not everybody in the United States wants to take over Canada. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said that Canada will not become the 51st state.
As you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever.
And the president offered this gem of wisdom about the border that separates our two countries.
When you get rid of that artificially drawn line, somebody drew that line many years ago with like a ruler, just a straight line right across the top of the country.
Yeah, and he was talking about how beautiful it will be and how beautiful it is and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, testifying before a House Appropriations Subcommittee, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent admitted that the U.S. has not held any trade talks at all with Canada despite the president's repeated, with China, despite the president's repeated comments that China has been reaching out to the White House to cut a deal.
Perhaps as early as this week, we will be announcing trade deals with some of our largest trading partners. They have come to us with very good offers.
Now, if you want less than the truth, if you don't want the truth, if you want just rhetoric, if you want things that just make you feel good, well, this is not the radio show for you. But if you're interested in the truth, and if you're interested in the people who tell the truth, then this is the show for you. So, regardless of what has been said, even by the President of the United States, there are no talks going on with Canada. Canada has not reached out to the United States. I'm sorry, I keep saying Canada. I got Canada on my mind. China. China has not reached out to the United States. And there are no talks going on with China. And that's coming from the Treasury Secretary, who would know about these things. The current administration is stepping up pressure on Harvard University.
The Education Department says Harvard University will receive no new federal grants until it meets a series of demands from the Trump administration in what amounts to a major escalation in the president's battle with the Ivy League school. The latest action was laid out in a letter to Harvard President Alan Garber, who's previously said he will not bend to the government's demands. Harvard has sued to halt a freeze of $2.2 billion in federal grants. The move does not apply to financial aid students receive to help cover the cost of tuition. An Education Department official who spoke to the press on condition of anonymity accused Harvard of serious failures in four areas: anti-Semitism, racial discrimination, abandonment of rigor, and viewpoint diversity. Education Secretary Linda McMahon has opened an investigation into alleged anti-Semitism on the Cambridge campus following the October 7, 2023 terrorist attacks. I'm Jennifer King.
Yeah, we'll have to watch this this story because this really could be about infringement of freedom of speech. And again, we'll follow the story, the current administration versus Harvard University. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has determined that the Pentagon is top-heavy and has ordered the firing of one out of five leadership positions.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has directed the active military to shed 20% of its four-star general officers as the Trump administration continues to push the services to streamline their top leadership positions, including the National Guard.
General and Flag Officer Reductions. That's the official title. My title is Less Generals, More GIs.
Hegseth has also directed the military to shed an additional 10% of its general and flag officers across the force, which could include any one-star or above or equivalent Navy rank. Hegseth says,
we're going to shift resources from bloated headquarters elements to our warfighters.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
All right, now, I'm not on the inside, and neither are you, but I'm going to basically say that Pete Hegseth is probably right. The Pentagon is probably very top-heavy. And so some of these firings are probably warranted. And I would agree with, you know, getting rid of redundancy. And, I mean, sometimes businesses have too many bosses. I've known, you know, radio stations that have had, you know, too many executives and you know, they lose money. They're not making as much as they could make. So, you know, yeah, businesses and certainly a bureaucracy can become very top heavy. So I would say in this case, Pete Hegseth is probably right about this. All right, that's it for a look at Scoot's News Briefs. Let's go to James in Metairie. James, good afternoon. You're on WWL.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot, and thank you. It was mentioned concerning whether or not Trump will obey his oath of office when he was inaugurated to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Whether or not he put his hand, left hand, on the Bibles that Melania was holding. Well, he did not. He didn't have his hand on the Bibles, nor does the Constitution require that the president place his hand on the Bible. And in Trump's case, I probably would think that if he thought that if he put his left hand on the Bible, he'd probably get third-degree burns.
Well, you know, I kind of thought about that, too. I mean, he might have felt it might burn him. But, you know, the question that we're asking right now, this came up yesterday, and I think it's interesting that a strong Trump supporter said that this is a media hoax, that the president of the United States did not question whether he should follow the Constitution. First of all, it's the year 2025. And as a talk show host, I am shocked and appalled that we even have to ask this question. Can you believe we're asking a question about whether or not the President of the United States needs to follow the Constitution? Is this not unbelievable? Now, again, when you think about this question, the day may come when there's a Democrat in the White House. So if you say the president does not have to follow the Constitution, and there's a Democrat in the White House, and that Democrat, he or she, goes against the Constitution, you can't call this show and say, hey, how come the president's not following the Constitution? Because if you're for it now, then you have to be for it with another president, a Democrat, if you're a Republican. So do you think the president of the United States needs to follow the Constitution? I mean, again, this is just such insanity that it is shocking to me that we're even asking this question. But because of the current president of the United States, this is a legitimate question to ask. I mean, we're kind of on a crazy train. If you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be right back on WWL. It's 2025, and we are legitimately asking the question, should the President of the United States follow the Constitution of the United States? What do you think? I'm Scoot. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to New Orleans East. Elmore, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Elmore.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm being very honest with you. Being a vet, Vietnam vet, went to Vietnam, 19 years old, 6 years military. I work for the American people. And upholding the Constitution, that was one of the procedures of joining the military, that you understood the rule of law, even as a young man, 19 years old. So if a president even be doubted, I'm laughing because it's not even funny. For a president of the United States to talk like he's naive, don't know, it's a total disrespect to the American people. You know exactly what you're saying. You know why you say what you're saying. So I'm tired of people giving excuses. Well, you know, he's not a politician as we know it, and he's talk off the cuff. He know exactly what he's saying. He say what he mean what he say. So let's call it the way it is.
All right, Elmore, thank you for your service to our country. I'm glad you called our show. I'm glad you're listening. Just an interesting question. So CNN anchor Abby Phillips on her show last night on CNN had a panel, and they were talking about this because when this came up on Meet the Press over the weekend with moderator Kristen Welker, she was talking about the Constitution of the United States and does the president have to uphold the Constitution, to which the president said, I don't know. I have to respond by saying, again, I have brilliant lawyers that work for me, and they're going to obviously follow what the Supreme Court said. But basically, he said he doesn't know whether or not he has to follow the Constitution. And he has not followed the Constitution with a lot of the deportations that have taken place. This was also a discussion yesterday on CNN with Breonna Keeler and a Republican from Georgia, Representative Rich McCormick. And they were talking about this as well. And, you know, there are going to be people who say, well, no, he doesn't because he's the president of the United States. Now, we know the Supreme Court recently ruled that presidents can do things and they're not really held accountable. That presidents can do things and they're not held accountable like average citizens. We know about that ruling. But I never interpreted that at the time as meaning that the president doesn't have to follow the Constitution. This was this was regarding basically that Supreme Court ruling, in my opinion, seemed to be regarding behavior, things the president would do with his behavior or his talk. And it had nothing to do with just preserving and protecting the Constitution, which he's sworn to do at the oath of when he's taking the oath of office. So I just think it's crazy that we're asking this question, that we have a president who believes that he's above the Constitution. Do you want to just throw the Constitution out? I mean, what would all the people do who support the Second Amendment? What would all of those people do if we threw the Constitution out? there would be no constitutional guarantee that you could have guns in this country. And maybe a state could come along and pass a law that the state can come take your guns. I think sometimes people forget how powerful and how important the Constitution is. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. From Tarrytown, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Yeah, I'm a 75-year-old veteran, and I think the president is ridiculous to believe that he shouldn't have to follow the Constitution. The question is, do we want a country with a president that don't want to follow the Constitution? Now, if we all could recall, Harris and Biden was trying to pass a law to speed up their progress on with these aliens at the border. Because Trump's excuse was they have millions and millions of cases and we won't be able to go through with that. But that problem could have been partially solved if he would allow the Republicans to vote on the bill he was trying to pass in Congress. He said it was a waste of money. Now, when we talk about a waste of money, here we have a president that has spent over $30 million to play golf in his first 100 days. We have a president that wants to have an $80 million parade for his birthday. And you want to end programs like Meals on Wheels and feeding the kids in the summertime and things like that. Now, that's a real waste of money, far as I'm concerned. What I really hope is that somebody can come up and discover a vaccine for all of the people that then drink this MAGA punch, even though RFK might tell them it might make them turn black or something. But I think somebody got to come up with a vaccine for all of the people that then drink the MAGA punch. Thank you.
Bob, I appreciate the call. All right, now look, as far as the parade's concerned, I don't like the idea that the president wants a parade about him, because that's the mentality of a dictator. But this particular parade would actually be the 250th anniversary of the Army. And maybe it's worth it for that reason, to promote the military. But it should not be just for the president. I think they're trying to work it out to where it coincides with the president's birthday. But this is really also a parade about the 250th anniversary of the military. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Yeah, there's a couple folks in here who are giving us some variation on, stop making stuff up. President Trump never said he would not follow the Constitution. You're misleading your audience.
Let me just stop here.
Yeah.
I never said he said he wouldn't follow the Constitution. I never said that. We're talking about since he said, I don't know. See, this is how people misinterpret what I say. I never said the president said he would not follow the Constitution. He said, I don't know if I have to. And so I'm asking the question, should the president of the United States follow the Constitution?
Yeah. If the president is asked if, I believe the direct quote from Welker was, don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president? And his immediate answer was, I don't know. I got to check with my lawyers first. Like, that is what we're talking about. He never said, I'm not going to follow the Constitution. However, but for a little context, I'm old enough to remember all the way back in 2022 when he tweeted out this. Do you throw the presidential election results of 2020 out and declare the rightful winner, or do you have a new election? A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution, end quote. This is not even the first time that Donald Trump has completely whiffed on what his role is as the chief executive in upholding the Constitution of the United States. So don't come at us like, you're making this up. This is all fake news. Yeah. This is not even the first time that he has screwed up this very simple principle.
In his heart and mind, he is a dictator. I believe that. I believe that the president believes that he is essentially, or should be, he should be able to be a dictator because he's president. Now, I don't know how much the president of the United States paid attention to politics when he was younger, because he was like banging a lot of women and he was a playboy and just jet setter, had a lot of money, and he might have been really distracted. So, maybe all of this is his first introduction to politics and to the political structure in America. So maybe he really doesn't know. But, again, I never said Trump said he would not follow the Constitution. So please, please actually listen to our show. I mean, that's only fair, right?
You didn't say that, but it's not insane to think that he would say that.
Well, yeah, I mean...
He seems to think like it's his choice whether or not he obeys the Constitution.
Well, I think that that's what he... Yeah, I think he believes that. He didn't say that directly. But by responding, I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty vague answer to a pretty pretty definite question. Do you believe you should have to follow the Constitution? To say, I don't know, really kind of means you probably believe you don't have to.
In fairness, here's another text that I wanted to tuck in. Says, President Jackson refused the decision of the Supreme Court with regard to Indian removal. Denying or expanding the Constitution is old stuff. Roosevelt stole the Panama Canal and Jefferson got Louisiana. Those were both extra constitutional acts.
All right. So as far as this show is concerned, we deal with modern history. And we don't deal with like that far back, even though there may have been some precedent set. I don't believe something that Jackson did or Jefferson did. I don't believe that's a real precedent set. You know, we're talking about modern history on this show. It's 2025 and a lot has changed. I know we got to get to a break here. So just keep that in mind. It is unprecedented for a president to think that he might not have to follow the Constitution. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar on this day in 2021, Lloyd Price, a soul singer, passed away at the age of 88. Lloyd Price was from Kenner, and there's a street in Kenner named after Lloyd Price, and this was his big number one hit in 1959. All right, I'm Scoot on the Air. We've got a lot to talk about in the next hour, so hang on. We're going to come back with more. We'll continue the conversation about whether or not the President of the United States should be required to follow the Constitution, and then also a conversation about whether or not you put work before your kids. I'm Scoot.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, you've heard the forecast. Rain is coming. It looks like it's going to be a rainy day, although I don't think the rain's coming until tonight, and the heaviest rain tonight and into tomorrow morning, you've heard that, but very, very cloudy out. Some of you might be in an area right now where it's raining, and, you know, be sure and if you're out there driving, be sure and drive very carefully. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I am so into the NBA playoffs, and I'm so excited that the Lakers are not in it. They got kicked out in the first round. So excited about that. And last night, I watched the Knicks and the Celtics. And the Knicks beat the Celtics on the Celtics' home court. That was a big deal. That was the beginning of their semifinal series. And last night, did you happen to watch the Denver-Oklahoma City game? Denver won it in Oklahoma City, 121-119, with a last-second three-pointer. And Denver came from behind. Some of these games, you know, it's almost like it's fixed because it's so exciting, but it's not. I mean, you couldn't fix this. Just, I mean, amazing how some of these games come down to just the last few seconds. But there was an Oklahoma player who missed two free throws, and the Nuggets got the rebound and took it down and then hit a three-pointer and won 121-119. Really exciting stuff. All right, so we're talking about the President of the United States. He said over the weekend that he's not sure if he has to follow the Constitution. So I'm asking the question, do you think the President of the United States should follow the Constitution of the United States? The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We'll get to your calls here and some of your text messages in just a few minutes. Here's an update on the woman we talked about yesterday. The woman in Rochester who has raised over $6,000, Rochester, Minnesota, not New York, she's raised over $600,000 after she was caught on video screaming the N-word at a five-year-old black child who apparently took something from her. Now, the child should not have done that, and there are reports that the child is in the autism spectrum. But still, regardless, the child should not have taken it. But was it necessary to scream out the N-word? And then when the guy with the phone who was doing the video of her, when he confronted her, she said, you know, something about mind your own effing business or F off, or she used the F-bomb. And then she continued to use the slur when she was talking to him. Well, the incident has been investigated by the police in Rochester. And the police say that the investigation is done. And their findings have been submitted to the Rochester City Attorney's Office for review and consideration of a charging decision, whether or not to charge this woman. I don't know what you charge her with. Hate speech? I have to respect the First Amendment, and we have a right to say a lot of things that we shouldn't say. But the investigation here, I don't know if this is really going to go anywhere. There was a rally yesterday of protesters criticizing racism in their community, and they're urging action. The Rochester branch of the NAACP has created a GoFundMe account for the little boy's family, and now they've raised $341,594. It's amazing what you can raise with a cause. I mean, I'm trying to think of a cause right now that I can use to raise some ridiculous amounts of money. And we talked a lot about this yesterday, and there's just no need to use the N-word. And there are still people who will find an excuse to use it, but no legitimate reason to use it. All right, so over the weekend, the president said that he's not sure if he has to follow the Constitution. What do you think? Do you think the president should follow the Constitution? Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. Let's go to Elmo in Gentilly. Hey, Elmo, you're on WWL.
Hello. Thank you, Scoot. I'll just say something first about basketball. It is as it's cardiac for the fans as it is for the players. But anyway, Trump, I mean, there's no question Trump being president, he has to follow the Constitution. But I want to back up a little bit. I also saw an interview where he was asked about the Declaration of Independence that he had hung in his Oval Office. And the interviewer, I think it was ABC, asked him what he thought about the Declaration. He said it was about love. And it took him aghast and me aghast. But, you know, the Declaration itself set the moral direction for our society, and you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And when it was talking about men, it wasn't excluding women or anything in between. And also to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to support these, we establish a government. Among men, by, you know, other people, by the people, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, that's all in civics, and that government is defined by the laws in our Constitution. That's what we are.
It doesn't seem like it's asking too much for a president, just like citizens, to follow the Constitution. And I'm very uncomfortable with the idea that a president is above the law and does not have to follow the Constitution. And if that's the case, then everybody who supports Trump and says he doesn't have to support the Constitution, you have to be prepared to accept that if there's a Democrat in the White House.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but there is, in my opinion, there's no room to accept anything other than you have to follow the Constitution. That is the heart and soul of our country.
Well, it is, and you're right. It's the heart and soul of the country, and then the president is the leader of our country, so it just makes so much sense that he would follow the Constitution.
Well, you know, I graduated from high school in 1962, so that shows how old I am.
Yeah.
And served in the military, et cetera, et cetera. And even that was pointed out when I went to NCO school in the military, it was pointed out that you did not have to follow the orders of superiors if their orders were unconstitutional. That's covered in the Universal Code of Military Justice.
Yeah.
People aren't taught civics. I was taught civics in high school.
Yeah, I was too. I don't know how much it's taught today, but I have a feeling it's not taught very much. Elmo, you're a wise man. I respect you for your wisdom and your knowledge, and I appreciate that you're listening to our show and that you took time to call in. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, what do you have for us?
What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Couple things. Number one, tonight, I know the rain's coming there, but Shinedown is playing at the Smoothie King Center tonight at the arena. They're a modern rock band, pretty popular. There's going to be some pyrotechnics involved. Man.
I love Shinedown.
A lot of tickets available. Yeah, they're kind of borderline between an arena act and kind of like a theater act. So there's probably going to be about 6,000-7,000 people there, Scoop. But yeah, they're great, very melodic, a lot of rock hits. That's tonight. Also, for anybody looking for a free treat and a big Saints fan, annually, Thomas Morstead, you know, what's ironic here, Scoot, is Morstead won a Super Bowl here with the Saints. He still resides in Metairie, Louisiana with his wife and kids, although he's played with the Miami Dolphins since winning the Super Bowl here. He wanted to stay here. It just didn't happen. He was with the Jets. I think he's still with the Jets. But annually, Scoot, he does a kind of a giving back NOLA Day to all the fans, you know, over the years that still love him. He's going to be – he basically rents out Sal's Snowballs on Metairie Road, today's the day he's going to do that. So, anybody who wants a free snowball, anybody who wants to meet Thomas Morstead, get some Saints swag, autograph, Super Bowl champion, Thomas Morstead will be there today at 3:30 to 5 o'clock at Sal Snowballs in Metairie, giving out free snowballs, free autographs, free pictures.
That's cool.
So that's a cool thing.
Yeah, it's Metairie Road and Bonneville.
And one last thing. Look, Jazz Fest was great. The Cheech and Chong event last week where they were going around town, Scoot, bartending, and of course they went to the Rouses there on Carrollton. I'll just show you the power to you and Ian of the power of the Scoot Show. You know, I was in line. I had called up that day and told you, hey, Scoot, Cheech and Chong are at Rouses on Carrollton. Well, lo and behold, some of your listeners showed up because I was in line with my father-in-law and my two daughters after picking them up from school. And I guess they heard my voice talking to my daughters and the people around me, because about 2-3 people behind me, they're like, hey, is that Jimmy?
Hey, that's cool.
Are you Jimmy?
And,
Listen, it's less about Jimmy from Gretna and more about the power of Scoot and WWL, because
that's really
they
cool.
Showed up. So look, Shinedown tonight, free snowballs with Thomas Morstead at Sal's Snowballs at 3:30 today.
All right, Jimmy, thanks a lot for that. Yeah, Sal's is right there next to Majoria Drugs, and they make a mean snowball. All right, when we come back, we'll get to some of your text messages. You know, we can continue to have this conversation about Trump and the Constitution. And again, let me mention that there was a devout Trump supporter, a MAGAite, Her name is Batya Unger Sargon. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, or at least I'm close. She's accusing the media of promoting a hoax, basically saying that Trump never questioned whether or not he should follow the Constitution. And, I mean, we have hardcore evidence that he did. But this is the extent to which some people will go to support the current sitting president of the United States. And, you know, as you know, we're only talking about this when we absolutely have to, but these are big issues. And the idea that we're asking the question whether or not a president should follow the Constitution in 2025 is really shocking. And I think it shows you that maybe our country is not as stable as we thought it was, that maybe things are a little bit more, a little bit less secure than maybe we thought they were, because this should not even be a question. But it is a question, and it's a scary question. And some of the answers are even scarier. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about I want to talk a little bit about this woman and the N-word. But I also want to bring into the conversation country music superstar Luke Combs is talking about how his priorities are in order and that now his kids are more important than his work. He says his priorities in order, his job is not as important as his kids. But I think that's easy for him to say because he has money now. And there was a time in my life when I was made to feel like I was picking my job over my child. And it hurts me to this day, but it's not true. And I think a lot of men sometimes have to make decisions and it makes it seem, and some women have to make decisions, that it makes it seem as if they're putting work first, but not really. I'll explain that, and we'll talk about this. Have you ever had to put work ahead of your kids? Has there ever been a time when you felt like you put work ahead of your kids? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. We'll get to your calls and text messages coming up. I love this song. This is the epitome of yacht rock. This is yacht rock, for those of you who are not really sure about that subgenre. On this day in 1974, the Hughes Corporation released Rock the Boat. This is Luke Combs doing a cover of the Tracy Chapman hit, Fast Car. And by the way, there was some controversy when this came out about cultural appropriation. Look, Tracy Chapman was thrilled Luke Combs did this. It wasn't cultural appropriation, it was cultural appreciation. He liked the song, a great message in the song, sad message, but a good message in the song. And Tracy Chapman said she's thrilled because she's getting money. We're going to talk about Luke Combs, a country music star, saying his priorities are in order this year. He said, quote, my job is not as important as my kids. He's got a lot of money. It's easy for him to say that. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Ian said that we just got a text from somebody who wants to hear the audio from Trump this weekend about Trump saying, I don't know if he has to follow the Constitution. He was asked that question, and he says, I don't know. The president of the United States said he doesn't know if he has to follow the Constitution. So our question is, should the president, any president, have to follow the Constitution? I think so. But there are people, because of who the president is, who will make excuses and say, no, he doesn't have to. Or there are people who say, well, that's not what he really said. Well, no, we have it. We're going to play that audio coming up in just a few minutes. But I want to share with you a couple of comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. The question is about this white woman who raises over $600,000 and counting. It's still going up. This was a reward for her shouting the N-word to a five-year-old black child. Do you agree with the points that I make in the video? That's the question. The video is posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook. You can watch the brief video and comment. It's also on Scoot on the Air Instagram. Here is a comment from Damien. It says, this is America. This is, was, and always will be America, a racist country. At the black delegation, we at the black delegation are not surprised. Here's a comment from John Moore, PC Bullchat. Why is this politically correct BS? So here's an example. This guy, John, I probably should give his last name just so everybody knows who he is, but I won't. But this guy, John, is excusing the use of the word, the N-word to a five-year-old child. And again, the five-year-old child should not have stolen anything, but was it necessary to use the N-word? I say no. But guys like John, why don't you send her some money? Why don't you send the woman some money? I mean, I don't know if you have kids or not, but don't worry about your kids. Send that woman some money. Here's a comment to John's comment from, I don't have it. I don't know why that didn't come up. All right, here's a comment from Deanna. This lady is classless. This is my opinion. I agree. Dee Dee says, thanks, Scoot, for speaking the truth. And these are comments on Scoot on the air Facebook. You can join in. There are some other comments that find reason to criticize me, and that's fine. But, you know, when a woman uses the N-word and raises over $600,000, I think that's quite a statement about race in America. And I think it's worth talking about that. So, again, as I have said, the last 2 weeks are a demonstration of what we're doing. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about politics unless I have to. But there are certain things that will come up that require us to talk about the president of the United States. But other than that, I'm trying to talk about other things on the show and pop culture and music and a lot of other things. But if you tune in and we're talking about politics or we're talking about something like race, it's because it's a significant issue. And these are things that we talk about on talk radio. So let's get to this issue of Luke Combs. So Luke Combs, this very successful country music star. I mean, he's a superstar in the country music world. A lot of crossover hits as well. He says, my job is more important. My job is not more important than my kids. He said, I have my priorities in order this year. My kids are more important than my job. I think it's easy for him to say that now. And I think there are times that sometimes men and sometimes women have to make decisions that make it look like they're prioritizing their job over their kids. And I'll give you an example in my life. In 1996, I was doing a talk show on B97 after Howard Stern. The station decided to change formats. In 1996, FM talk was not as popular as it is now. And so the company decided to change. It's not the company that owns B97 and WWL now, but another company owned the two stations. And they decided to change the format. So essentially, I was out of a job. I didn't have a job. There were no opportunities for me in New Orleans. None. And I know some of you might think, well, how could that be? Of course Scoot would have an opportunity on the radio in New Orleans. There were no opportunities for me here. And my agent, I had an agent at the time. My agent found a great position for me. I flew to Philadelphia and auditioned for it and got the job immediately. I was offered the afternoon show on WPHT in Philadelphia. And it was for really good money, really great money. My son was in a private school at the time. And my son's mom and I wanted to keep him in a private school. I was made to feel like I was prioritizing my job over my son when I made the decision to go to Philadelphia. It was a hard decision. It hurt me. But I had to make the decision because we wanted to keep my son in private school. To keep him in private school, for me to continue to pay child support, which was very, very generous, I had to move. I had to move. But it looks to some people like I might have been prioritizing work over my son, but I wasn't. I was making a sacrifice for my son. It was a great opportunity to go to Philadelphia. I'm not going to lie about that. But I didn't want to leave my son. But I was the primary income earner among the two of us. And to keep things the way they were, I had to leave. I had to leave. It was hard. And I cannot even describe how I cried every time I dropped him off at the airport. Every time he would come to see me and he would go back. I can't tell you how much I cried. I cried the whole way home. And it was hard. And so sometimes men and sometimes women have to make decisions that might make it seem as if they're prioritizing work, but they're really doing it for their kids. And I never liked living away from my son. In fact, I wanted him to live with me. But it didn't work out until he was 18 and could make the decision for himself. And as soon as he turned 18, he moved to Portland to live with me. And he finished the last semester of high school in a school that, where he didn't know anybody, because he wanted to live with me, and he did. So, you know, sometimes people have to make tough decisions, and it might look like they don't care, but they really do care. And when Luke Combs says, well, I've got priorities in order this year, my job is not more important than my kids, I get it, Luke, but not everybody's in your position. Not everybody can do that. And sometimes men and sometimes women have to make tough decisions. And sometimes when it comes to after-school care, not being able to pick your kids up right away, sometimes you make work a priority because it's necessary. It's not that you're selfish. It's not that I was selfish. I didn't want to leave him, but I couldn't take him with me. So that was a tough time. And I look back on all those times when I was out of town and I brought him to the airport and, you know, again, I cried like a baby all the way home. I didn't want him to see that. But sometimes we make decisions. There were no opportunities for me in New Orleans at the time. So I did what I could to continue to pay child support and continue to stay in touch with him and just continue to keep him in a private school. So when somebody like Luke Combs says, well, you know, yeah, my kids are my priority. I get it. If I were in that position, you know, my son would have been my priority and I wouldn't have left. I wouldn't have had to leave because I would have had money. So if you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's take a break here. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get right back to more of your calls. But I know a lot of people can relate to this. I don't know if anybody wants to really talk about it because it's a tough topic to talk about. But I just think it's easy for somebody like Luke Combs to say, yeah, my job's not as important as my kids. Well, because you're already a multimillionaire. And it's easy to say that when you're in that position. But when you have to make money, sometimes you have to make sacrifices to make money. And for me, I had to leave the city. And I didn't want to, but I had no choice. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. You know who this is? This is Mariah Carey. Beautiful voice, beautiful face, beautiful bod. I mean, she's hot. There's a question about whether or not Mariah Carey deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The inductees have been announced. We don't know actually who's going in among the inductees. We'll talk about that next hour. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm better now, but it's very hard for me to talk about some of the realities in my life, and many people are not aware of many of the things that I deal with and have dealt with in my life. Luke Combs, a country music star, says that his priorities are in order this year. My job is more important than my kids. Yeah, he's a multimillionaire. He can afford to make his kids more important. But sometimes men and sometimes women have to work. And they do it out of love for their kids. And it might look like they're prioritizing their jobs, but they're not really. And I think about that time that I had to leave my son, and it was really, 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 really hard. And it was so painful and hurtful. And it seemed like I was just going off to Philadelphia, that I was leaving. There were no opportunities for me here to continue to pay child support, to continue to continue to keep my son in a private school. I had to go to Philadelphia. All right, let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Steve Lakeshore. Steve, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I never call into these shows. I listen from time to time, but as I was listening to you speak, I could hear the hurt in your voice. And I practiced divorce law for 45 years here in New Orleans, and I can tell you that your situation is not unique. I've seen it many times where a parent has had to sacrifice their time with their children in order to ensure their children's future success. And sometimes it results in the other parent engaging in parental alienation and trying to use that against the former spouse, whether it's the father or the mother. And a lot of times it can cause a lot of problems between the parent and the child. But hopefully, as the child ages and comes around, they realize that that parent made sacrifices for them. I've had many situations where fathers or mothers who did the same thing that you did, went through the same experiences and hurt that you did, came back to me years later to let me know that they had a great relationship with their children, and that whatever they had gone through was worth it to see that their children were successful. So it is painful when it happens, and it's sometimes painful to remember it. But if the end result is that the child becomes successful, then, you know, it's all worth it, and they appreciate it.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate your words and all that you've said. And my son knows it. He knows it today. I mean, he's grown, and he knows that I did what I did out of love. And, you know, he was just getting into skateboarding and, you know, Philadelphia. Man, they had a lot of skateboard parks there, which they didn't have here. And, you know, wherever I lived, I only needed a one-bedroom apartment, but I always got a two-bedroom apartment because I never wanted my son to feel like a visitor. I wanted him to always feel like he had his own room, and so he did. So I spent the money to have a two-bedroom apartment, even though he wasn't there all the time. But when he was there, he felt like that was his home, too. And my son, you know, learned a lot and got a lot of experience early in life, traveling to Philadelphia, to Miami, to San Diego, to Seattle, to Portland. They traveled a lot to Denver, and he's still in Portland. He found a life there, and he's still there today, and I'm very, very proud of him. He's the one thing that I've done best in my life, and I think he knows. All right, let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
Lots of people are offering supportive words. Left Lane Driver says, "You did what you had to do, Scoot. You're a good dad." Dr. Bobby in Las Vegas says, "I walked a path similar to yours. Thank you for sharing." Dom in Houma says, "Man, Scoot, you got me tearing up a bit thinking about all that. I'm currently blessed with a job that gives me the autonomy to make it to my daughter's events and school functions and stuff. I won't get rich, but it pays the bills." Here's another that says, "Scoot, I just heard you saying that some people say the job is more important than family. My story is that I worked two jobs for 11 years to keep my two daughters in private schools. My job was more important to keep them in school to get a better education. Yeah. Today, they're over 40 years old, and that did good. My point is, life is about sacrifices. It's just the way God wants it."
You know, it is. And I appreciate all of those texts. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I realized that if my son turned out the way he turned out, all of the things that I thought might have been a mistake at the time were not a mistake. They were not a mistake. That if the way that I was with him and talking to him every day, I mean, we were in touch all the time, and he saw me often, you know, spring break and summertime was there for a couple of months, and every Thanksgiving he was with me, and every time he had a chance to have holidays, I saw him at least every 6 weeks, and I was fortunate that I had the money to fly him to see me wherever I lived, and to make him feel like that was his city too. So, you know, he did have a lot of fun, and flying around, he, you know, the country at a very early age, he learned a lot. So if all of that made him who he is today, then I guess I can look back and say none of those were mistakes.
James on the North Shore is listening today. He says, "My mom left Slidell back in the 80s to go to Metairie to make more money for us. It was hard just living with Dad. He was so strict. I was mad at first. But my mom left us so we could have things. She made up for it later when we got to move to Fat City."
I think there was a time that living in Fat City would have been really cool. Thanks for that, James. And you know, I think most kids really do understand. Later in life, they really do understand. So if you're going through a tough time right now, please know that your kids are going to ultimately understand. And that's what's important.
And I'll leave you with this one. Mark is listening today. He says, my brother joined the Marines shortly after my parents separated. So it was just me and my mom when I was in high school. She worked her ass off, but I was always her number one priority. She liked to travel, and she saved her money to take me on 2 Caribbean cruises and a trip to the British Isles.
That's cool. When I
say mom worked, she worked a split shift at the Chris on Orleans. I guess they must mean Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It was brutal, but she did it for years.
Wow. Hey, let's go to Mitch in Mid-City. Mitch, I've got time for a fast comment, but welcome to the show, Mitch.
Hey, Scoot. First of all, I'm sympathetic to what you're talking about. You know, I appreciate my mom coming up, you know, this Mother's Day. I just want to shout her out for, you know, making sacrifices to give me a better life. But the main reason for my call is regarding the lady who has been getting, you know, almost over $500,000 for basically getting rewarded to say a racial slur. No matter the context, I just don't understand how people have been so emboldened ever since. I feel like we've got out of post-COVID. I don't know what it is, and I'm not trying to make this at a fault of the current administration, but you definitely see a trend that how unabashed the current administration is.
Yes.
I feel like it's given people sort of an out to where, you know, there's a reason that the term is called political correctness because, you know, you have to draw a line at some point. And that brings me to the next point where it's like, you know, I've been seeing a lot of reports of that being, you know, out of town neo-Nazis who have been spotted in the French Quarter and in bars and things of that nature. And it's just, I mean, these people were shamed out of the world, and now I saw that those two people who were, you know, those neo-Nazis, they were like apparently setting up a GoFundMe for them, you know, where they wanted to, we need to help to get relocated and, you know, because we've been shunned out of, I mean, it's like, there's a reason for that, man.
There's a reason
that people do not condone who you are. And it's the fact that people are donating to them. That's even like, you can exist as a neo-Nazi, whatever. Don't put it out in public.
But Mitch, I agree with you that there is a sense in America now that all of that is okay. And it's really sad. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1978, The Knack became a band. Now, I'm not saying that's good for music. The Knack, man, they thought they were the bomb. They thought they were going to be the new Beatles. And I know this from experience in trying to get an interview with them. They thought they were big you-know-what. And where are they today? I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, we're going to do the text-off. We just ran a little late in that segment, so we'll do the Tuesday text-off at 3:10. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to play the video of Donald Trump responding that he doesn't know if he needs to follow the Constitution, which I think is really kind of shocking. So we're asking the question, does the President of the United States have to follow the Constitution? I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay with us. More of your calls coming up next on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1978, supermodel Cheryl Teagues. Remember her? I do. Yeah, she was cool, but I didn't think she was one of the best. Anyway, Cheryl Teagues, she was hot. She was on the cover of Time magazine. Seeing that inspired Bob Seger to write this song, Hollywood Nights. And happy birthday today to Bob Seger, 80 years old. Man, he had a lot of hits. Old time rock and roll, Night Moves, Hollywood Nights, others as well. Bob Seger. You know, I've never seen Bob Seger in concert, but would love to. Anyway, Bob Seger, 80 years old today. I'm Scoot on the Air. Ian, I want to ask you, how do I sound? I've got a new pair of headphones on. Do I sound okay?
You sound exactly the same.
Okay, well, see, when you put new headphones, people don't know this, but when you put new headphones on, you always sound different because the headphones are different. So when I'm talking, I hear myself through my headphones, and if I put on a new set of headphones, I feel different. So I didn't like the pair that Danny gave me. Danny Miller, our head tech guy, he gave me some brand new headphones to start the show, and they were Koss, and I didn't really like them. And they kind of were kind of loose on my my head and didn't really care for the way they sounded. So I went back to my old headphones. Well, I brought the headphones back to him during the break, and he said, okay, try this pair. So he gave me another new pair. I love these. These are awesome. They're called Air Cans. And Cans is a nickname for headphones in the business. Back in the day when I was first getting into radio, yeah, I got Cans, man. I got some new Cans. That's headphones. Anyway, I love these. Danny, thank you very, very much. These are cool. All right, so there's going to be betting on who the next Pope is going to be. We'll talk about this on the show tomorrow afternoon because tomorrow is the day they start the conclave. Also, how realistic is the movie Conclave to what's really going to go on in the Catholic Church? We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Let's see. The President of the United States said he wants to build a ballroom in the White House. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't get it. All the federal cuts, all the cuts from DOGE. And look, I know that building a ballroom is not a lot of money compared to like other amounts of money. But you got to start cutting out the small things, because if you cut out a bunch of small things, that adds up and it ends up being a really big thing. The White House has gotten along this long without a ballroom. I don't think we need one now. And it just seems hypocritical to be talking about building a ballroom, which is going to cost millions, to build a ballroom in the White House when there are all these cuts to try to save money. I mean, how does this jive with DOGE? DOGE is all about saving money. And so now there's talk about building a ballroom in the White House. Also, for those of you who are interested in this, Grand Theft Auto 6, I believe, has been delayed until 2026. I know it's kind of upsetting. Delayed until 2026 because they say they want to make sure they get it right. Earlier today, the President of the United States had a press conference in the Oval Office with the new Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney. And while he sat right next to him, the President of the United States said, "We don't do much business with Canada. They do a lot of business with us." And he also went on and talked a lot about how Canada would benefit from being the 51st state. And the President of the United States essentially was saying that you never know. Time will pass. Let's see what happens. But never say never. But the Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, said with the President of the United States sitting right next to him, he said, "Canada is not for sale." So we'll see. But again, the president said, never say never. Coming up, we're going to talk about those who are inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we'll talk about those who should be inducted. And Mariah Carey is a name that's coming up because there are people who don't think she belongs. And I don't think she belongs either. I mean, I don't get Mariah Carey. Beautiful woman, great bod, beautiful face, great voice. But there's nothing distinguishable about her. She has no style. I mean, there's just nothing memorable about her music or about her. But I also thought it was interesting when I found out that of the 400 inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, only 80 of them are women. And that's a suggestion that maybe the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is sexist. So we'll be getting to that. If you're just tuning in this afternoon, we've been talking about this ultimate devout Trump supporter, Batya Unger Sargon. And she was on Abby Phillips, CNN, last night. And she said the media is promoting a hoax in its coverage of President Trump's comments about upholding the Constitution. The President of the United States was asked about upholding the Constitution, because, as you know, there have been times when he hasn't. And the President's answer to "should you uphold the Constitution," the President's answer was, basically, "I don't know if I have to." He said, "I have great lawyers around me and they're going to figure it out, but I don't know if I have to follow the Constitution." And so that caused me to ask the question today, which it's unbelievable that we're asking this question in 2025. Do you think the President of the United States needs to follow the Constitution? All right. Also, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirmed to Congress that there were no negotiations with China over tariffs. Now, the President of the United States said that China reached out, but apparently that was a lie. Because now we're getting testimony from Scott Bessent, Secretary of the Treasury, that you can't lie to Congress. When you're under oath, you can't lie. And so Bessent is forced to tell the truth. The president of the United States holding a press conference can babble about anything he wants to babble about. And boy, it was rough. It was rough watching that press conference earlier today. Because so much of this stuff was just not even believable. Anyway, there have been no negotiations with China over tariffs. None. And we'll see what happens in the future. But I think things are going to change, and it doesn't seem like there's been a lot of action. Now, the president of the United States says there have been hundreds of countries who have come to him, but there's no evidence that that has actually happened. Also, we've talked about, as an update from what we talked about yesterday, a police in Rochester, Minnesota investigated the woman who used the N-word shouting at a five-year-old African-American boy. It was all videotaped by a bystander. They turned the information over to the city attorney's office in the city of Rochester, Minnesota for a review, and they're going to consider charges. I think the N-word is protected by the First Amendment. I mean, nobody should use it, but I think the use of it is protected by the First Amendment. I mean, it might be considered hate speech. I guess that would be the only angle that could be used. But we talked about this woman, as of yesterday, had raised over $600,000, over $600,000, because she says her name and address got out there and she feels like she has to relocate. And she's raised a lot of money from people who are supporting the use of the N-word. They're supporting her use of this. It's kind of shocking to me. I guess I'm not really surprised. But I guess I don't want to be faced with the evidence that there are so many hardcore racists in this country that they would give money to this woman out of support for her using the N-word. Because she didn't have to use that. And as I said yesterday, what if the child were white? Would she have shouted out, "Hey, Whitey. Hey, Cracker. Hey, honky." And those things are not as devastating as the N-word. But I just think it's sad that so many people are giving money. The NAACP chapter of, the NAACP chapter in Rochester, Minnesota, has a GoFundMe account for the boy's family, and they've raised over $341,000. So that's kind of amazing. I mean, it makes you kind of want to come up with a cause. So you've got a reason to set up some kind of a funding situation. Also, we've talked about country music star Luke Combs saying that this year his priorities are in order. He says, quote, "My job is not more important than my kids." And I said last hour, it's easy for him to say that because he's a multimillionaire. And there are a lot of us who had to make decisions that might make it look like we were putting work before our children. But in reality, the work was for our children, and the decisions we made and what we did were about loving our children and doing the best we could for them. And if you're going through a tough situation, you can relate to what I said last hour. I went through that, and it was hard, and it was hard for a long, long time, and very hurtful. But my son turned out to be great, and I will tell you this, if you're going through a tough time right now because of decisions you've made with work and your kids, please understand that your kids will ultimately learn the truth. All right, Ian, do you want to do the text off here?
Sure.
All right, let's do the text off here. All right, we got jammed last hour, couldn't do it at the normal time, so we'll do it right now going into this break. So you need to respond quickly because we're just going to do it during this break. All right, so the text off is Tuesday text off, song A, song B. You, the audience, decides which is better, song A or song B. Real simple. Here is song A. All right, that is song A, and here is song B, and what you'll need to do is text A or B to the Open Heart text line, 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. Here is song B. Here we go, another Mariah Carey song. Look, I'm not questioning her talent. She's beautiful, great, great body, great voice. But she, to me, she's so vanilla. She's so benign. I don't think she belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And among those who are nominated to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the final decision hasn't been made. She's on the list. I don't think she deserves to go in. Do you? The Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, so let's get the results of the Tuesday text off. Song A was Eric Clapton singing I Shot the Sheriff. That's a cover of the original done by Bob Marley. And here is the original. Song B was the winner. Bob Marley was the winner. This song came out in 1973. Eric Clapton's cover version came out in 1974, so it didn't take Eric Clapton long to realize, hey, that's a pretty good song. I better jump on that. But with our Tuesday text off, and I agree with the results of our audience, the Bob Marley version is better. All right, I want to play for you because a lot of people say, well, that's not what Trump said. I'm so tired of people telling me what the President of the United States meant. Because I hear what he said. Well, they say that's not what he meant or what he said. I hear what he says, and I can figure out what he means when he says it. I mean, it's almost like people say, well, don't listen to anything he says because everything he says is not true. That's not true. I mean, he means a lot of this stuff. So the President of the United States said he doesn't know whether he should follow the Constitution. And so people have who didn't hear it over the weekend hear him actually say it. We have the audio. So here it is.
Your Secretary of State says everyone who's here, citizens and non-citizens, deserve due process. Do you agree, Mr. President?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
Don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know. I have to respond by saying again, I have brilliant lawyers that work for me. And they are going to obviously follow what the Supreme Court said.
Well, I think this is reference to the Supreme Court saying that the actions of the president are basically immune from prosecution. But I think this is things like, you know, wrongdoing. I think the president still has to follow the Constitution or should. And that's our question. But for the President of the United States to say he doesn't know whether he should or not, it's kind of scary to me. And it bothers me that we're even asking the question here in 2025. I mean, this should be a no-brainer. Sure, he has to follow the Constitution. And don't use the Second Amendment of the Constitution and say, well, we have a right to keep and bear arms because of the Second Amendment. Don't use the Constitution to protect what you want to protect and then throw out the Constitution when it comes to the President of the United States. But I think he needs to follow the Constitution, and this would include the deporting of U.S. citizens. So this is an area where the President of the United States has not followed the Constitution up to this point. But again, you just heard what he said. He doesn't know whether he needs to follow the Constitution. It seems to me that that shouldn't even be a question.
Even people who are saying, oh, no, he's talking not just about broadly upholding the Constitution, but very specifically giving due process to undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants. Even the most generous interpretation of these comments reveals that he does not, in fact, know that illegal immigrants do get due process under the Constitution. If an individual is physically present in the United States, it doesn't matter what their immigration status is, if they're legal or not. They are entitled to the same protections as a regular U.S. citizen. That includes the right to due process and equal protection. This is not controversial. This is not new. Maybe you don't like that. Take it up with James Madison. But for Donald Trump to hear that his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, is correctly interpreting that all the millions of people that they want to deport should get due process on their way out. And then for Kristen Welker to ask him, well, Marco Rubio said that. What do you think? And he goes, well, I don't know. Then you shouldn't have the job, because this is really, really easy.
I think it's pretty basic. I mean, he took an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution, and now he doesn't know if he has to follow it. I find that to be a bit scary. By the way, look, let me mention this. You know, when I mentioned just a moment ago about the Rochester branch of the NAACP having a GoFundMe account for the family of this five-year-old, where somebody shouted the N-word at the five-year-old, they've raised over $340,000. Why? I mean, what did they need that money for? You know, this is an example of something that came up yesterday. and it was an African-American caller who made this point. When Al Sharpton and those people who support African-American issues, when it's black on black, they don't care. When it's white versus black, they care because that's how they raise money. That's how they grow in power. When it's white versus black. And so this is a case of white versus black. The woman was white. The child was black. She used the N-word. What is the NAACP going to do with that money? Why did they need the money? I thought they were already funded. Is the NAACP in Rochester, Minnesota, are they using this child to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for their own good? I mean, I think that's possible. Let's go to Rick uptown. Rick, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on, Rick. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
So I want to mention something to you. I enjoy listening to you, and I find both sides, just in general, like they all say different things. I saw Trump said something about doing the some sort of ballroom.
Yeah, yeah, just talked about that.
But he did say something about he'd pay for it with his own money, at least from what I saw.
Okay, well, I didn't see that. So the report the report that I got was biased media, and it was unfair because I would have mentioned I would have mentioned that.
Check it out.
Okay.
If you get a chance, Paul, he did say something about taking donations too. But I want to ask you about the Beagles real quick.
About the what? The Beatles?
So the Beagles, they stopped something yesterday about, I guess all administrations have been doing some, doing experiments on Beagles. And it looks like PETA went ahead and thanked Trump administration for stopping the working on the Beagles.
I don't know what they were doing. What were they doing on Beagles?
They were doing experiments on these poor Beagles.
What do you know what kind of experiments?
I wasn't there with the Beagles. I don't know. But if you pull it up on PETA's website, it talks about it. PETA's X account. Basically, they were experimenting and the Trump administration stopped. I just want to give them a shout out. But all administrations, Democrat, Republican, should have done this, in my opinion, years ago.
Rick, I'm going to look into that. I appreciate the call. Let's see. Let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, Irvin. All right, let's go to Chris in Kenner. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Scoot. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so about the N-word.
Yeah.
That's a pretty disgusting word, okay? I hate to hear it.
Yeah.
But here's what confuses the heck out of me. Black people use it against black people all the time.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot yesterday.
Why? I don't get it.
Here's my theory. I think they use it to destigmatize the word amongst themselves. And I think there's a big difference between blacks using it among themselves and a white person calling a black person the N-word. I think there's a difference there. Some people might perceive that as unfair, but it's not a word that should be used. I don't think young black generations should be using it. And that's primarily who's using it. I don't like that. I don't think we're going to stop that, but I think it's a way of just destigmatizing the word. That's the best way I can explain it.
I agree with you, and not using it is the right thing to do.
I agree with that. All right, Chris, glad you called the show. We're going to get to more of your calls. Also, we'll get to a couple of text messages. And if you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, so we're talking about who should be in and who should not get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I'm going to list all of the nominations. We have not heard yet who's going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but here are the nominations. Bad Company, Billy Idol, Cyndi Lauper, Joe Cocker, Mariah Carey, Outkast, Soundgarden, Joy Division / New Order. New Order was Joy Division before they were New Order. Chubby Checker, Mana, I think that's how you pronounce it. They're a Hispanic group. Oasis, Phish, The White Stripes, and the Black Crowes. Of those nominees, who do you think does not deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? So we're going to continue that conversation. When this was first announced, Ian and I had a conversation about Oasis because I said, I don't think Oasis deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Ian disagreed and thinks they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I like Oasis. They have some really great songs. I love this song, Live Forever, and I love a lot of their hits, and they have great hits, but I just don't think that... I think there are others who deserve it more than Oasis, I'll put it that way. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, so what do you think? Outkast. Does Outkast belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They're the only hip-hop group that is nominated this year. Think they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? We're talking about some of the groups that deserve it, some of the groups and artists that don't deserve it. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's see, what did I want to tell you? I don't know. I forgot. Oh, man, I'm loving these headphones. God, I sound so good. I mean, I don't know how I sound to you, but I sound great to myself with these new headphones. They're awesome. I mean, see, this is an integral part of what I do. Let's go to Bill Chase. Benny, you're on WWL.
Scoot, I was just calling about the oath of office issue.
Yeah.
When you become a public servant and you swear in, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution,
yeah,
whether it be state, local, or federal. And so this is a ridiculous issue.
It's a silly question. I mean, it's amazing that the current president of the United States is causing us to ask the question. That's amazing to me.
When you take the oath, you swear to uphold it.
Yeah. So it's a pretty much done deal. All right, Benny, I'm glad you called. So, I'm sorry, you had something else to say?
No, I said too much already.
No, you didn't say too much. You said just enough, Benny. I appreciate the call. So, if the current sitting president of the United States argues that it's okay to not follow the Constitution, or if he acts in such a way to not follow the Constitution, does that mean he lied at the oath of office? I mean, how would you interpret that? To preserve and protect the Constitution, taking an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution. And it's amazing to me that there are Trump supporters that think this is on the media, or that he didn't really say that. And it's amazing how many people will try to tell me, well, that's not what he said, or that's not what he meant. Well, we know what he said. You heard it. We just played it for you. I mean, what else can you mean by that? Okay, the question is, do you feel like you need to uphold the Constitution? I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to interpret there. It's pretty obvious. All right, let's go to Ian with a few of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, if Whitney Houston is in the Hall of Fame, Mariah deserves to get in.
Now, see, I disagree. I think Whitney Houston had just more style. She was more rock and roll. Mariah Carey may have the numbers in terms of songs, but she doesn't have, I don't know, there's something with Mariah Carey, I think there's something missing. And if you don't have that intangible element, Whitney Houston had it. I don't think Mariah Carey has it.
Here's the text that says, I agree that Mariah does not belong, but why do you keep referencing her body like that has anything to do with it?
I don't know, because she's got a great body. If I say something negative, I'm looking for the positive thing to say. I don't know. She has an outstanding body. I mean, she's got a great body, and she's pretty. I mean, not that that matters. I mean, like Janis Joplin would have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe she is, after her death. But I mean, she wasn't pretty. I don't think she had very much of a body. So yeah, no, that doesn't matter. But yeah, I keep mentioning it because I'm just referencing Mariah Carey.
Here's a text that says, Soundgarden who? Mariah's Christmas song alone has immense recognition. During her career, she's demonstrated that she's got one of the greatest vocal ranges of anyone in pop music, plus 5 Grammy Awards, a Grammy Global Impact Award, 10 American Music Awards, 19 World Music Awards, 14 Billboard Music Awards, and has 2 Grammys. It must be your favorite. Oh, Soundgarden has 2 Grammys. But that must be your favorite.
No, it's not that Soundgarden's my favorite. It's just that Soundgarden meant a lot more to music than Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey didn't do anything unique. And I'm impressed with her accolades. I'm impressed with all of the things that she's accomplished. I'm impressed with that. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame can't let everybody in. And if I had to leave somebody out, it would be Mariah Carey. Also, you know, I'm okay with the White Stripes not getting in on the first ballot. I think Chubby Checker belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Fish, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a Fish fan. I know a lot of people are. but I'm not a fish fan, so I don't know how to comment on that. Bad Company, Billy Idol, Cyndi Lauper, Joe Cocker, Soundgarden, and Joy Division / New Order, they all belong, in my opinion, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then you got to figure out Chubby. I don't think this group is it. Is it? It's okay. There's no accent on the end, so it's not Manya. It's Mana, because there's accent Mana, because the accent is on the A. This Hispanic band, you know, I can see them not making it. I mean, I know they're huge, but it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I know that the term rock and roll is everything from, you know, Danny and the Juniors at the Hop, to grunge, to pop stuff like Cyndi Lauper. Just saying rock and roll covers a lot of different genres of pop and rock music. But I could see the Hispanic group not making it. I don't think that's a criticism of Hispanic music at all. I would be okay if they didn't make it. And I'd be okay if Fish didn't make it. I'd be okay if the White Stripes didn't make it on this first ballot. And any comments?
I'll leave you with this one. 311 should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're still putting out albums and cruises and seasonal tours every year, and they've had all their original members for more than 30 years.
Yeah, that's
they
impressive.
Do it nonstop.
That's impressive. Mariah Carey do any cruises? I mean, it might be worth it to see her sitting around the swimming pool. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding about all that. I probably shouldn't be emphasizing her body so much, but yeah, she does have an outstanding bod. But I don't know. That's not always the thing that I pay attention to. Not the most important thing. I don't know, Mariah. Look, this is my opinion, and this is what we're talking about, just opinions. It's my opinion, and the judgment of music is very, very subjective. I don't think Mariah Carey belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. And the White Stripes, I can see if they don't make it this year. I mean, you can't let everybody in, and everybody's not going to get in this year. So if the White Stripes didn't make it, I'd be okay with that. But I'm impressed with what they did, and they did have a very unique sound. All right, we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk with Mike Dettillier and Jeff Nowak. Coming up next, Fox Sports analyst Tim Brando joins them at 4:20. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller. Traffic with Courtney P. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show and for being part of my life. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Join me on Scoot on the Facebook and Instagram. Love you, New Orleans.